listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here.
Yes, it's been a two-month hiatus since we were last here, but we're glad to be back, and we have a special guest with us. Of course, Michael Kelly is also here producing the program. Welcome, Michael.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
So, we welcome all those joining us live, as well as those joining us via the archives that we have. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. We have a number of different educational programs that we offer. EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts. Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers. MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in several metaphysical areas, such as counseling, coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and other areas. And Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. As is customary, I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. There are nine of them. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. Eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you know, this has got to be about the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet. If the world would just apply these, especially the first one, do no harm, do right, it would instantly be healed or well on its way to healing. To read more about these, please visit the Metaphysical Church of or the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. I can't even talk. Just go to metaphysicalhumanism.org. All right, so tonight we're going to welcome our special guests. We also will be getting to card readings a little bit later in the program. As is customary, are from our Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card deck. And so if a little bit later we'll announce for if you'd like a card reading, you can put your name in there in the chat room there. So tonight we are very honored and pleased to have with us Fran Jones. She is a doctoral candidate at IMHS, our school, flagship school. And it's great to have her with us tonight. Welcome, Fran.
Thank you, Dr. Kelly. Good to be here.
And she's going to be talking. Yeah, it's great to have you. And she's going to be talking on a topic of her own, the hand of change. So why don't you start by telling us what that's about?
Well, the Hand of Change is a project that I'm developing, and it's based on socio-ontologically based coaching. It has cultural considerations, which is something that we need to focus on, cultural considerations, and it's going to be geared toward women in distress. And I'll be using the life leadership paradigm methodology. There are a couple of reasons I call it the Hand of Change. Science itself is a child of metaphysics, and science and metaphysics both should be considered in defining human reality. All right. So Amen. We're talking about the hand of change. We've gone from metaphysics to science. That's one hand of change. We need to bring them both together, a holistic approach to healing. That would provide an absolutely holistic approach to healing, especially for people who are in distress. So that's why I call it the hand of change. We have to change how we utilize what we know.
That sounds interesting. Questions, Dr. Hunter?
Mm-hmm. So how would you incorporate some kind of methodology with, I'm assuming, with clients or with the public at large? Like, what would be the few principles when you say you're integrating culture? What kind of points would those be, friend?
Okay, well, let me explain that. That's a culture we overlook it. Our coaching and most coaching is based on what? Psychology. All right. And there are many forms of psychology. Our knowledge comes from the Western world, and we leave out cultural instances. If you're dealing with somebody who comes from a different culture, what applies to you or what applies to me may not work for them. That's why I'm saying I want to deal with the cultural aspect of it also. It is important to reach people, for people to understand, because what my culture, what I've had for centuries and what's in my DNA and what's in my social surrounding at this time may be totally different. So how you apply an approach to me or the methodology that you use might kind of go over my head and I might miss it altogether. And that has been happening in a lot of therapy. And they're just getting to understand that in psychology itself. And cultural psychology is brand new.
Well, it's interesting totally. I've had lots of conversations about this exact topic, and I have done some cultural education with people. Do you actually have in your modality, so to speak, points about different cultures, like characteristics of different cultures that people can be more aware of?
Pretty much. I use myself and a couple of my friends to bring out those points, and I ask other people about it. Let's say we'll use me, for example. That's one. My culture, even though I'm American, I was born American, my family line has been here for centuries. All right. There are things within my original culture that has been passed along to me. And therefore, there are things that I may understand and are important to me that you may not understand is significant. Let me see if I can give you an example. Extended family. All right. I grew up in the South, and we are really into that extended family type of thing. I have aunts and uncles who are not genetically connected to me, but they are aunts and uncles and cousins just the same. That might not be in your cultural realm. Do you understand what I'm saying? So therefore, it's not given consideration when dealing with me. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, completely, especially in the American Indian cultures, everybody is auntie and uncle and cousins, and that's a really big cultural component.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, sure it is. And I think socially people have to understand, or your, let's say your employer, you say, well, my grandma died, you know. Well, mm-hmm. but didn't three grandmas just die?
but three grandmas just died, really. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Dr. Kelly, in Transpersonal Psychology, Part 1, spoke about experience and education.
Right.
You know, and that's what drove me, started driving me along these lines. You know, yes, experience makes a difference. It makes a difference in how you deliver. It makes a difference how you can help someone. And experience has a lot to do with your background or your culture. You know, it has a lot to do with that. It has a lot to do with your social setting. You know, and that's what made me really start pulling things apart and putting it back together again. Because that was a terrific point. That was an absolute, and I think Dr. Kelly, you only addressed it in one paragraph, but that was a really powerful paragraph for me.
Well, thank you. I'm glad it helped. Look at the stuff I've created here. I've created a monster.
Yeah. No, Yes, you have.
I really do. I love this topic, and I think you're really onto something, Fran, and you can pull it off probably better than most. I know that probably, I think it was the early 1990s when I did some work for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police writing and producing videos, specifically more on family violence and such. One of the videos we were going to produce was on cultural education for members of the police force. And they pulled the project at the last moment because they were worried it would come across as racist. So the mm-hmm. ultimate question is going to be, how do you present this material without looking like it, when you're really trying to, you know, bridge cultures and have, you know, cultural education, but how do you then avoid being accused of being racist, because it's going to come up. I've encountered it myself. So, you know, it's well, like whether somebody is there's religious beliefs, you know, whether you're approaching somebody in a Muslim culture, you don't talk to the women, you talk to the men. You know, like she can get in trouble. I have encountered, you know, numerous cultures throughout my career, and there's being very you have to be very respectful that whether or not I would do it isn't the point, because they're going to do something very different. So to respect that and just work with it as opposed to against it, don't try and make people more like myself. However, when you address culture, which also includes race, or even if you're mm-hmm. talking culture, people think that that's race, which race may have nothing to do with it at all. It is cultural. How do you then avoid appearing as though you're racist?
And you have to explain it from the very beginning. You have to be selective in who you deal with. As I said, I will be dealing with women in distress, right?
Yep.
And I will be focusing basically, because I go back to that paragraph that Dr. Sully wrote about experience. My experiences are with women. My experiences are with women of color. I have a heavy background in behavioral science, and I had the fortune, the good fortune, to be under the wing of Dr. Jose Reyes, who has a company called Cultural Development or Cultural Competency, and he's on the national stage, and about 15 years ago, he was my boss. And that's what he taught, and he taught us about cultural competency and how to breach these bridges, you know, without appearing to be, as you say, racist. So once again, thank you, Dr. Kelly, for making that point, because it's all about experience. It's the experience, education, and expertise. I call these the three E's. And how, where you're situated in those three E's depends upon how good a practitioner, coach, or counselor that you're going to be, and how well you can help your client.
Good points. In fact,
I call it the three E's of effective coaching.
Yeah, that's good.
The three E's of effective coaching. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Actually,
and
that
paragraph
was,
that That paragraph was part of 2 points I was trying to make in its course M8 at IMHS on life leadership coaching. And the first point was that in order to be an effective counselor or coach, you have to have your stuff together. You have to exercise your own demons before you can help anyone else. That was the first one.
Exactly.
And the second big one was the experience that you bring to the table, because that's hugely important in how effective you are. And a lot of people don't, I don't think they understand that. That's how effective or ineffective you're going to be, whether you bring your experience to the table. It's not a matter of, oh, what do I tell this person, so much as, all right, I've had experience in life. What would I do? You know, what's a good logical path to take? And of course, we teach life leadership coaching, which is based on the life leadership paragon, which is self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness. And we teach to balance those. And when those are out of balance, that's when we have problems. That's when we have all kinds of problems, self-esteem problems, relationship problems, you know. But when we bring those into balance, we essentially take our power back. And so that's what we do with people, is to help them balance those. And in order to do that, you have to bring your own experience to bear on it, because most of us have been through that process, and especially the students in our program. That's why we have basically 7 courses, or 8 courses rather, prior to the course on coaching and counseling, because you have to lay a foundation. You have to get your ship in order before you can help other people.
Well, I, for one, I think, Fran, you're really onto something powerful, and I'm very excited to hear about your work and specifically the avenues you're taking, because in this day and age, it's really needed, and I commend you. I think it's a brilliant strategy and, you know, a much needed understanding to bring to the work. It's exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah. Agreed. So are there any other points you'd like to bring out, Fran, about this?
Other than the women in distress will be those who are ready for parole.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go into the correction system and prep them and walk with them out and until they no longer need me. And hopefully this type of project will reduce the rate of recidivism.
See, the life leadership paragon would be perfect for that, because most people, they need a boost in self-acceptance, and if they accept themselves and they balance out those aspects of the life leadership paragon, they will have a productive life.
Exactly.
So let me, do you have any other questions, Vicki?
Well, I was just thinking that, boy, in the prison system, that's extraordinary. That's a great place to start. Could you develop a model that others could also follow in your footsteps? In other words, could you build some kind of a strategy specific to women in distress that others could take into, let's say, safe houses and
great question.
You know, homelessness? Like, I'm seeing that this could really go into something that you could expand it. Like, if there was some kind of formula that you could put into writing, and again, specific to women in distress and the cultural components and et cetera, you could really build something and give training classes. Like, have you thought about that? Maybe you have or already have. I don't know.
I'm at the At this point, I'm in note-taking. I have a 1,001 little notes. And my second step will be go over my notes and design a process.
Perfect.
To design it. And I'm talking with a friend of mine who is a transpersonal therapist. So we were talking about that, and she said, like, a light went off in her head when I said about transpersonal coaching and how you put them together and what have you. So I do have some outside references and what have you. But that's what I intend to do. Because you see, no one lives forever.
And you don't.
I don't want this to go when I go. When my energy changes, I don't want it to go away. So I will be putting it down in hard copy so somebody else can follow. And add to. You know.
Well, you already have Dr. Colleen in the chat saying she'll take your class. She'd be happy to.
There's been a lot of support in the chat.
Yeah, actually, there's several people in the chat room making comments, Fran. Hope you can get a chance to look at them. So you get a total amount of support. I think where you're taking this and the distance it can go, well, it's endless. I mean, it's... I think you found a good focal point, and it's well, from what you're saying, really well put together. I'm going to look forward to more of this also. Maybe we can have you back when you've developed it into print. See where you are then.
Yes.
So,
and as a matter of fact, that's what I'm going to do anyway, because see, I'm your student. So before I do anything, I would have to send it your way for your perusal and your approval.
Well,
so
you
get to see it.
So we're gonna wrap this up shortly here, but I have a question for you. Did you by chance grow up in Arkansas?
I grew up in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, close.
The home of the Confederacy. Yeah.
Oh, good. The reason I ask is. My mother's maiden name was Jones, so I'm sure we connect somewhere down the line a little bit. Distant relatives.
That's my married name. That's my married name.
Well, then we're not related, sorry.
My maiden name is Jiggett. Well, I mean, you could be related to a Jiggett.
Oh, we're related somewhere along the line. We all are, aren't we?
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, Fran, it's been great having you on the program tonight. We really appreciate the time you've taken and appreciate you as a student. Appreciate you tuning into the radio program every week, and wish you the best of success. And I look forward to learning more about what you're doing too when you're ready.
Thank you. One more thing. Mm-hmm. I would like a card, please.
Okay.
Well, why don't you stay on the line?
All right.
Stay on the line.
No,
there,
I'm in the chat room. Chat room now. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care, Fran. Take care. We'll see you later.
Bye bye.
Bye
bye.
All right, so that was great. great questions, great points, and it was nice to have Fran on. Really was.
I went ahead and pulled a card, Dr. Kelly, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Fran, I hope you're still listening and in the chat there. I pulled self-mastery, number 7 of the Life Leadership Paragon suit. And that's a perfect card, I think. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace, not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. And I think that's exactly what you're doing, Fran. You're realizing your self-mastery through your work. It's fun. That's a great one.
All right, so if anybody else would like a card, please put your name in the chat room, and we'll start pulling those in just a moment here, as soon as we actually get somebody. So that was great. It's nice to see students going those directions, getting inspired and creating different things like the programs and writing books and all the things that students do. I mean, I got a collection of books going on here from students who've written books and send me a copy, and I appreciate that. It's great. All right, so we have some card requests here.
Well, I'm hoping Michael has his cards too, because maybe we can trade off here, Michael. And I see Jeff is first, I believe. No, pardon. Let's see.
No. Jeff
is first. All right. Go for it, Michael, if you don't mind.
All right. Absolutely. Don't mind at all. Jeff, I have pulled. This is a perfect one, especially for the conversation of the day. Wild card number 5, don't hate.
Good one.
A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to self and others.
Good. All right.
Well, I have Tabby next. Hello, Tabitha. And I picked number 17 for you, reinvention. It's in the existential suit. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. So just as a suggestion, re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. That's good for us to always do anyway. Answer these questions. What do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented? That's a good one.
Yep, we should constantly be doing that.
Yep. Okay, right. Michael, I think Dr. Colleen is next.
All right. Dr. Colleen, I've pulled number 16, continuity of life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
That's such a good card. You know, it's, you can apply that to just anything in life, any change in life. You know, it's, I don't know, so many times in my life in the past, you know, when something adverse would happen, something I didn't want to happen, you know, it was followed up with other opportunities. And so often we think, well, we may have lost something, maybe lost a job, lost a partner, lost a spouse, whatever. But that doesn't mean that's the end. It means that other opportunities will open up, other doors will open up, and which could even be better. And we don't know it at the time because, you know, everything's reference level. But continuity of life is just one door closes and another opens. You know, one chapter closes, you move on to the next chapter. It's not just about death, the continuity of life, you know, transcending death into the next realm. It's about transcending one day to the next, or one problem to the next, or, you know, overcoming a problem and reaping the benefits of that. So, good card.
Well, I think we have Dr. Angie next, and I pulled number 6, boundaries. It's important to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it's necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me? Now, it may be just a moment in time where we're reassessing that, and I think we're always doing that. So maybe there's a situation or something very specific where it's just a little good reminder, what's the boundaries? You know, what are they? So that's just that card for Dr. Angie.
Okay, who's next?
Teresa. Hey, Teresa, Michael, we got that?
Absolutely. Teresa, I actually pulled number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions, and weigh them against the facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts, or you have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
This is another great card, too, because this is something we ought to all be practicing in life. Being grounded, stable, level-headed, our feet on the ground, our head on our shoulders. You know, in the New Age community at large, there's so many people who are just, they'll believe anything and everything. Why? Maybe because it's popular, maybe because it feels good, and that's fine, whatever flips your switch. But from my background, you know, I believed in stuff that wasn't real. It was just somebody's imagination, some figment of somebody's imagination back, you know, decades ago. And, you know, and it was accepted as truth, and it had nothing to do with truth. And so now that's all I care about. I just want truth. You know, it is what it is. And I don't want the warm fuzzies. I was in blissful ignorance for a large part of my life. I don't want to be in blissful ignorance. I want to understand the nature of the cosmos. I want to understand the nature of life. And if it needs to be improved, then I want to help improve it. And so I'm not going to go way out on a limb to believe stuff that might make you feel good. You know, that's why so many people believe in God or whether there's a creator, I don't know. But the popular Christian, Muslim, Judaism concept of God and so many others where he's there to catch if you're falling, all that, that's not for adults. It's, we have to stand on our own two feet. We have to make our life, and we can't depend on somebody, nor should we depend on somebody outside of ourselves to achieve what we need to achieve. That doesn't mean we can't have healthy interdependent relationships. It just means that if we spend our life waiting for somebody else to come through and save us and all that stuff, that's shirking responsibility. We need to make our own life. And so that's part of being grounded. And there's nothing more beautiful than just conversing or talking with somebody who's grounded and reasonable and not prone to go way out on a limb with no practical evidence or no practical basis. So that's what we should practice, is being grounded, level-headed. You know, use critical thinking skills. When we hear something, well, we have to, you know, say, you know, is that true? And what basis do I have to believe such a thing? Is the basis firm? Or is it just a figment of somebody's imagination? Somebody pulled something out of the air that made everybody feel good. And, you know, I mean, I could go on and on and on all night about this, but I'm not. So I'll spare y'all. Anyway, who's next?
Dr. Shirley is next. And I picked one for you, Shirley. Excuse me, number 13. Positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill toward others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary. You know, it's pretty easy to do in this day and age, I tell you, to be contaminated or find ourselves contaminated by the environment or the people, negativity. And this is where always come back to yourself and your soul, your spirit, and who you are. And I admit this wholeheartedly every day. I have to remind myself, this is who I am. And to check in, and because it's easy to fall prey to the other stuff. So I guess I'm saying that for myself and others as well as you there, Shirley. So good card and good reminder.
Dr. Hunter, forgive me. What was the name of that card, the face value?
Positive consciousness number 13.
Thank you.
Now, I don't see any other names. Have I missed anyone, Michael, that you've noticed?
Not that I've seen. I think we got everybody, but of course, if you did want a card and haven't gotten one yet, definitely throw your name in the chat.
That's what to do. So, Michael, would you do me a favor, please, and pull a card for me?
Oh.
That would be awesome.
That's interesting. All right.
I know. I get kind of squeamish to ask, you know, but why not?
All right. Pulling from the middle of the deck. It just feels right.
All right.
All right. Number 32, sympathy and empathy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind of act of paying it forward. Sympathy, which is sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Hmm. It's that benefit of the doubt that can be a tough one sometimes, hey?
It can. For you, the line that caught my eye was the soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate.
Yes, thank you.
Well, that describes you, her.
Thank you, Michael.
Well,
thank
you're welcome.
You for that. So I see that we have Errol here who is asking for a card. Do you want to pull one for Errol as well?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Going from the bottom of the deck this time. All right, and this is what you might call a classic: do no harm, do right.
Yep.
And that is number 28. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means also taking positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free wills or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establish the foundation for all other principles.
Always a good one.
It's the do right after the do no harm. That's big. So Teresa has just asked for a card for her husband, Terry. So I'm going to go ahead and this one's for you, Terry. Number 12. This is spirit, cosmos, divine energy. Interesting. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self, within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So I hope that makes some kind of sense to you there, Terry, and nice to meet you and nice to have you joining our program.
All right. Well, it's been a great evening. We really appreciated Fran Jones coming on and talking about her inspirations and visions and program. And, of course, we wish her the best of success in that. And we'll also have some other guests on this month, too. Dr. Norman Wilson's going to come back, and we're going to have him on this month. I'm not sure yet of the week. Then you can start the music, son. I lost my thought. Anyway, we're going to have some other guests, but I'm not sure when, but I'll get those posted as soon as I know. But anyway, it's been great. We appreciate everybody's time and attention tonight. We're glad to have everybody back, and good to see you again. I hope you're all doing well. So I'll post as soon as I know for next week, and hopefully we'll have a guest on next week, and as soon as I know, I'll post it on the site there. Anyway, again, thanks to everybody. Thanks, Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael and Fran Jones and all of those of you who are listening to the program live, as well as the archives. Again, we appreciate your time. Till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.